Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you have hit the subscribe button so that you get every episode automatically every week. There is no cost to subscribe. It's simply an option you select one time for convenience. We even have a subscribe page on the website that tells you not only the many places where, but how you can subscribe. Again, though, there is no cost to do that. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, comment, etc. on those platforms. You can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners, and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Also, please help me spread the word about the show. I would appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio, as, yes, 1 year in, I am still trying to draw in more listeners in the hopes that this ministry will bring them closer to Christ. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And do go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of really good testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, if you attend daily Mass, you heard last week the passages from 1 Samuel 18 and 19 and how Saul was very resentful when David got higher praise for having slain more Philistines, and eventually it led to such anger that Saul wanted David dead. Fortunately, Saul's son Jonathan interceded and brought peace and perspective, and Saul was obedient to the Lord. It reminded me of when an offensive lineman in football clears a path for a running back to set off a long run, or when a basketball player knocks a ball loose and a teammate goes on for a long, uncontested layup, or in hockey, how a player can get an assist on a goal, yet it's his teammate who scores that gets to go first in the line that skates back past the bench and gets fist bumps from the teammate sitting there. There's a temptation to become envious of not getting enough credit and thinking, next time I might not throw that block or set him up with that pass. And parents, be careful. You might fall into this trap too if your son or daughter doesn't get the spotlight. But let's all strive to be more like Jonathan and not like Saul, and long not for the spotlight and the accolades, but to glorify God. Moving on now with episode 52. My guest was on this show just over 4 months ago on episode 33. She is the clinical psychologist at St. Paul the Sixth Institute in Omaha, Nebraska, where part of her work includes meeting with priests, religious, and lay men and women who are seeking faith-based counseling. She also works with seminarians attending the Institute for Priestly Formation and conducts psychological evaluations for individuals interested in entering seminary, the diaconate, or religious communities. She is a member of both the Catholic Psychotherapy Association and the Catholic Medical Association. Welcome back to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Kelly Morrow.
Thanks, Bruce. It's good to be back with you.
Yeah, thanks for making time to do this again. I appreciate it. Looking forward to talking to you today.
Likewise.
So listeners, sometimes there's a movie or a TV show where you have to have seen the previous episode or the original first. But in this case, you don't have to have already heard Dr. Morrow on episode 33 to follow what we're going to talk about today. But I do strongly encourage you to go back and listen to that episode if you haven't already heard it, so you can benefit from what she and I talked about back then. Now seemed like the right time to have her back, as I said on that episode that I would, because this coming Sunday is going to be the Super Bowl. And Kelly, there are always end up being reports claiming that domestic violence rises around the Super Bowl. And of course, wide receiver Antonio Brown is back in the news again. And as far back as a year ago, CBSSports.com reported that the NFL was investigating him for an alleged domestic violence incident. So Kelly, there used to be an old analogy that was made using the word choir boy. And as we count down to Sunday's Chiefs 49ers game, it sounds like players and fans alike, we need to get back to behaving like choir boys instead of angry boys.
Yeah, it would be nice if society and everybody involved in sports could actually, you know, embrace that you don't have to be an aggressive, angry player on and off the field or off the court to be able to perform well. It seems like, you know, this momentum has been for way too long that men have to be aggressive to be able to perform well in athletics. And unfortunately, that aggression doesn't always act like a light switch. And the mentality and the ego that helps them to perform on the field sometimes gets carried over into their homes behind closed doors.
Well, and it gets carried over to at home behind closed doors for fans who are so emotionally invested in a game like the one that we're going to see on Sunday, being the Super Bowl. And it always amazes me that, and I might have even said this back on our first interview together, that in the morning we are the upstanding member of our parish community in church worshiping God through the Mass, and then just hours later it's a completely different person that's watching that Super Bowl, and it's as though the two don't even have any connection to each other, meaning the parishioner and this person who has all of a sudden become a raging lunatic because their team is losing.
Right. I think a lot of it has to do with expectations and justification. So when you're going to daily Mass in the morning, you know, you're expected to act in a, you know, choir boy, holy type way. But unfortunately, there's sometimes permission inside people's expectations that it's okay for me to lose control. It's okay and almost expected for a real fan to be emotionally charged up if I'm watching the game. And the bigger the game, the bigger the emotional involvement usually. And so you can have these mentalities where people kind of justify their behaviors. It's like, well, I'm all excited about the game. Or did you see that play that guy just made? I can't believe he dropped the ball. You know, of course I'm going to be angry and, you know, swear or slam the doors. And then, of course, if you add in alcohol, people can use alcohol as an excuse, too, for outrageous behavior and even domestic abuse.
Well, and, you know, I've heard people who will say, even Jesus got upset. You know, he did turn the tables over in the temple, but I think that is exactly that they're just looking for an excuse to justify their behavior. And to that, I say, that was one time. Show me other instances in the Bible where Jesus really lost his cool. And so to justify it Sunday after Sunday, football game after football game, and to try to, dare I say, how dare you point to the Bible, justify it by saying that Jesus lost his cool in the temple, I think is very irrational. Am I on target here with my assessment?
Yes, you are. And I've had read some theological explanations about that whole, Jesus losing his temper in the temple. And I won't go into that, but whenever we try to cherry pick from the Bible certain verses to justify our behavior, it's probably not legitimate. It's probably not actually going to be on target. And you're trying to make up excuses for something that actually is probably sinful behavior.
Hmm. Well, and there's something that you said that I want to go back to, which is about being a certain player on the field and then being the same or a different man off the field. And I've talked to somebody who laughed at me because I told him about my interview with hockey player Mark Van Gilder. Listeners, this was episode 19, if you want to go back and hear it. And in that interview, I asked Mark about language on the ice. And he was honest, and this person I was retelling this story to laughed at me and said, before he let me finish the story, that, well, come on, you can't expect this guy to be, and he didn't say choir boy, but I'll continue that analogy. You can't expect this guy to be a choir boy in the heat of battle on the ice. And in fact, on that interview, Mark said to me, I know that I am a role model for children, and I do have to be sensitive to something like that. So while I want to glorify God and be the best Catholic I can, even when I'm on the ice, you're really focused on the game. However, I do recognize that I have a responsibility as a role model to not say something on the ice that could be overheard by fans. And so there's a great example right there of trying to be the same person both on the playing field, on the ice, as you are in your home, in your church.
Yeah, and his motivation was higher than just in the moment of the competition, he was thoughtful of, like, who am I as this man, and how will my behavior affect other people?
Indeed, indeed. Well, let's move on, because in addition to the Super Bowl, there are two other sports stories that have been making news recently, both regarding the game of baseball. One is the cheating that has been talked about relative to the Houston Astros, and even the Boston Red Sox are in that conversation too. And the other is last week's announcement of the Baseball Hall of Fame voting, and not only who got in, but the fact that guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens still haven't gotten in because their names are both tied to doping allegations, which also brings up the word cheating.
Yes. Yeah, cheating is a hot topic right now. And I'm kind of glad, because, as we all know, cheating has been going on in sports as long as probably sports have existed.
Well, but is there, again, the same motivation that I'm going to cheat because I'm thinking of myself, and I don't want to say so much the glory, but the tangible benefits that I think I will gain if I cut corners, if I break rules? Is that the motivation, the incentive, the drive?
Yeah, there's a lot of motivation to cheat at all levels. If you think about it at a high school level, the kids want to get a scholarship to play in college. Or, you know, in some sports, they can go straight to the pros. So that's a temptation. Once you're in college, well, then you want to be able to go play as a pro. So there's a temptation to cheat there. As a pro, of course, the better you do, the more money you get, the more incentive you get. And even for coaches and managers, they get rewarded for their teams doing better. And so there's a lot of motivation. But there's also an interesting study I came across that looked at two kind of motivations or two types of athletes. And these differences make a difference when it comes to how likely somebody is to cheat. So there's the task-oriented athlete whose goals are really aimed at improvement. And so they're focused on hard work, developing themselves, you know, becoming a better player. And then there's ego-oriented athletes who, as you might imagine from that term, they want to be better than everybody else. They want the glory. They kind of just assume that they've got all the tools they need, and they may or may not give any credit to God. It may just be about, I'm just that good. So the ego-oriented athletes have lower sportsmanship, cheat more, and they accept cheating more. So they excuse cheating. It's like, well, yeah, if you can get ahead and not get caught, it's a great thing to do because it feeds their ego.
Well, and shame on the professionals that are cheating, because so many youngsters do look up to them as role models. And when you cheat, you send the message that it's okay, parentheses, if you get away with it. And so as a result, it trickles down to when you first started to say, you start at the high school level, my eyes got kind of wide open, like, wait a minute, cheating in high school, we're talking about Major League Baseball here. And so that's the trickle down effect. And I also thought, yes, of when you said cheating has probably been around as long as sport has, my first thought was to way back in the 19 teens and the Black Sox scandal. Yes. But in fact, we can think of the Bible and the times that there were people who would try to trick Jesus with a question. So it was almost a form of cheating of, let's see if we can get the desired result by being manipulative.
Right, right. It very much is about manipulation. And, you know, it's a form of deception or lying. And then it's also really stealing. You know, in the Astros case, it was stealing signs, right? But it really points to, yeah, this is stealing. You're stealing the sign from the catcher to pitcher, but you're stealing the outcome of that pitch. You're stealing perhaps the game, you're stealing perhaps the series or the championship, but you're also stealing the integrity of the game.
Well, and you're stealing proprietary information. You know, the teams have developed their own systems, and so you're violating that. And it's as simple as boiling it down to, if you walked into the confessional, would you withhold that? No, you committed a sin, and so you would tell them, I stole or I lied or I cheated. They're all the same thing. I want to turn to something Similarly, this has also become more and more topical over the last several years. It wasn't that long ago that this didn't even exist, but now we're living in a time when young players are being given what have become known as participation trophies, meaning that their team didn't win a given tournament, and seemingly it's out of fear of them feeling rejected or lesser. And similarly, there are coaches who will make sure that every kid gets in the game so that there isn't backlash from parents about their son or daughter's playing time, as opposed to back in the day when it was more about, look, I'm putting the players out there who are going to put us in the best position to win, which is what we all came here to do today.
Yes. I experienced that the first time, you know, when our children were just getting into, you know, early grade school athletics. And I was really surprised about this participation trophy, everybody playing. And of course, I think the real trophy is getting a snack provided after every game or practice. That seemed to be much more important than anything else the kids got, actually. But there's pros and cons to everybody playing or participation trophies at the end of the season. And for younger kids, it can help motivate them to be able to get out onto the court and actually play during a game as opposed to just during practice. Mm-hmm. And it also can help mix up the better players with the weaker players. And, you know, so there's some advantages to that. It can help motivate them, and it can help kids learn, hey, I'm really good at this, or I'm making progress in this, I'm improving and I want to keep playing, or I'm really not good at bouncing this basketball. Maybe I should try something else next season. Mm-hmm. And without that participation, you know, they really wouldn't know that.
Yeah, it's quite an emotional battle for a coach, because from a Catholic perspective, yes, it is the very kind, gracious way to approach running your team. At the same time, there is so much pressure from parents on the one hand to make sure that their kid plays, but on the other hand, nobody wants to sit there and watch their kid play on a losing team all year. So when they come to you and say, what is going on? Our team hasn't won yet, and we've already played 7 games. That's when you have to walk that line of, well, do you want your kid to play or do you want the wins? And so I don't envy those coaches, and I don't know psychologically who has the upper hand there, if it's the coach or the parent, but certainly it's taking a toll on both.
And really, the emphasis should be on what's best for the kids. You know, not what's going to make the parents happy and feed their egos and make them proud of their kids. So there was a study done by Project Play in 2014, and they asked kids why they play sports. These are kids like 12 and under, and they say for fun. It's fun. That's why I play. Mm. And so they said, well, what makes it fun? So there were a lot of different answers, but they ranked what it makes sports fun for kids. The number one answer was trying your best.
Wow.
Second was when the coach treats players with respect. And third is getting play time.
Wow.
So that's what engages kids in keeping involved in sports.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was very interesting, though. So the earning a trophy, or before that, winning, like winning at all costs, that fun is equal to winning only way down on 48.
Wow. Wow.
And earning a trophy or medals, that went clear down to number 67 in this list of things that make sports fun.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Very eye-opening. Wow.
Yeah. So that's what the kids are telling us. But as parents, you know, we think things very differently.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. Very interesting. And listeners, I want to ask Dr. Morrow for some practical applications for our daily lives. Again, dealing with both faith and sports, specifically disappointment and success and taking care of the temple that is our body. But I want to mention first that whether you work at a Catholic school, or if you work or volunteer for a diocese, or are involved with your parish or some other ministry or organization that does events, or if you know someone in one of these capacities, I'm talking about events such as a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or maybe even something a little less predictable, a little less traditional. Maybe it's out in the secular world. Something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry is a fit. I would be most grateful for the opportunity to come in as a guest speaker for whatever the occasion is that you or others that you know are planning. Do familiarize yourself with my faith walk and my sports background, both on episode one of this show as well as on the website where it says Meet the Host in the About section. And then look for the 5-question Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on CatholicSportsRadio.net to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show, taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work, booking the guests, and so on, which means that all the expenses are having to come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish, securely, online. And then for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Pray about it and see if this ministry might be somewhere that you feel inspired to include in your tithing. I would greatly appreciate your support. Kelly, let's get into some professional advice from you that the listeners can take with them along the lines of how to deal with disappointment in sports and how to deal with success in sports.
Sure. The one word that kind of sums it up is keeping things in perspective. If we put all of our eggs in one basket, meaning whether I win or lose, then our identity is going to be too wrapped up into performance and that success. And so it's important to realize that winning and losing both teach us life lessons that can be translated into other spheres than athletics. Really focus in on, am I trying my best? Am I putting forth effort? If I'm doing that and I lose, okay, you know, I tried hard. Did I do something better this week than I did last week? Am I making some improvements? Is there something that I now know that I can work on for next time?
I like that.
And trying to avoid being envious, as you spoke of earlier. Envy is something that is real easy to be tempted by when we lose. On the flip side with winning, realizing that my abilities come from God. And so keeping our ego in check by realizing, okay, I'm only able to really hit that ball because God's given me the ability to do that. And you can look at other players who aren't as gifted in that area and say, yeah, I didn't do anything to do this. Yeah, I've added to it by my effort and my practice and work ethic and everything, but God has given me this gift or talent. And again, fighting, resisting the temptation for pride and ego when we win is really important. One thing that helps, I think, is remembering that you're good at baseball or whatever sport, you're good at playing it, but you're not good because you're a good baseball player or a good football player. You know, your worth, your value as a human being comes from God and being God's son or daughter, not by your performance and your trophies that you achieve playing athletics and sports.
Well, and to piggyback on your word perspective, I always remember way back on episode 12, I interviewed Neil Pionk, who is a defenseman in the NHL. He at the time was playing for the New York Rangers. And as much as you mentioned before that in high school, the goal is I want to get a college scholarship. In college, it's I want to get into the pros. Neil said to me that Our faith lasts us our whole life. Our playing career at best might last you until your 30s. So you might get excited about winning, but keep it in perspective. That's not your whole life. Your whole life isn't that win or that season or even that championship or your whole sports career, because it is just a small part of your entire life, which should always be focused on God first and everything else second. Before my mention of the guest speaking that I'm available to do and the ability to donate to this show, I was also mentioning taking care of the temple that is your body. Kelly, I'd like you to speak to that, because I know your perspective isn't simply diet.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's the full package. It's a very holistic package, mind, body, and spirit. So we each of those parts affect all of us. So it's important to do things like stress management by keeping our thoughts realistic and truthful and, you know, in perspective, as we were just talking about. Our bodies need obviously good nutrition to do well in sports, but we also need good sleep. And that's one of my areas that I frequently talk to people about who are athletes and non-athletes, because sleep affects how the rest of our bodies work. Taking time for rest and relaxation is something that's very hard for people to do in this society, but we are not robots. And if we treat our bodies like we're robots and just keep working them and pushing them, there's going to be negative effects to that. And so keeping in mind that we are the temple of God, and He has created this body, and so we need to treat it with respect and care. And and then of course prayer is kind of foundational for us being able to live our life in a way that is pleasing to God and will bring us happiness.
And I love that you started into that answer by referring to anger management, because it kind of brings this whole episode full circle with us having started off talking about domestic violence and things of that nature. We're out of time, but I want to try to sneak in two really fast questions here really quickly before I let you go.
Sure.
This has been a rather heavy conversation, so I want to try to end it on a little lighter note. Back on episode 33, we mentioned that you have a son playing baseball at Michigan State. I know we're not in baseball season right now, but how is he progressing there, and how is his baseball mom holding up?
Oh, well, yeah, it's definitely on our mind, and he's doing well. He had a very good summer season, and he's been able to progress in that and continuing to build on it. And so we're looking forward to the season starting on February 14th down in South Carolina, because of course up in Michigan it's a little bit too cold and snowy to be playing up there at this time of the year.
Well, and similarly, the other question I wanted to ask is, I know you watched the college football national championship game a few weeks ago. What will you do this coming Sunday for the Super Bowl, and which team does someone from Nebraska root for, the Chiefs or the 49ers?
Go Chiefs! There's a lot of Chiefs fans in Nebraska because it's the closest professional team for us, and so we're very excited for the Chiefs to be in the Super Bowl again, and so we will be watching, that is for sure.
Great. Well, Kelly, great to talk to you again. Thanks so much for your time, and God bless you and your family.
YouTubers, thank you.
Listeners, I want to end with a prayer that can uplift us all, since this was some rather heavy subject matter that we dealt with on this episode. So let's pray it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.